Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous Sunday, January 25th, 2015. We are so blessed to be alive. I laid in bed the other morning. It was like at 1 o'clock, wee hours in the morning, and I woke up and listening to the hoot of an owl. Hoot, hoot. I don't know about you, but that to me is... That's what it's all about, being able to hear the owls sing at night. It was just precious. And it is in those beautiful moments that I find the meaning of my practice and the meaning of my life and everything. Because if the little owl can hoot at night like that, well, it means that everything is in its place, in its right place, at the right time, doing exactly what it needs to be doing. And I was very fortunate, very blessed to be able to share in that. I'm glad I woke up. We miss a lot sleeping. I know we need it. All of us need it. I don't get hardly enough of it. But to waste my time asleep, not to hear the music of the owl would have been just absolutely a tragedy for me. Absolutely. I want to thank my sponsors who make this possible, who make this radio program possible, who make the Aspire TV programs possible. We're going to be making new programs on the Beatitudes of Jesus, and I will be talking about that as we go on a little further down the road here. But they are going to be magnificent and beautiful. They really are. And I want to thank my sponsors and my supporters who make all of this possible. None of this could happen unless you were generous, kind, and loving. And I can't thank you enough for the beauty of being able to have that privilege. And I want to thank my listeners, and I want to thank also the people who offered these beautiful questions for today. And they are Dilly Whoppers, and I love Dilly Whoppers. So I want to thank them. I want to thank all of you. I want you to know how much all this means to me personally. The first one comes from Stan, and he lives down in San Diego. He listens to our radio program here every day. There's enough radio programs on here to do that, too, to listen almost every day. And I'm very, very grateful that he does and that he still finds interest in all of this in all these years. And he is a very, very staunch supporter, and I'm very grateful. Is it really possible to want nothing with all of your heart, like you say? I mean, really, Greg, how would that happen? I'm full of desire. Everyone is, aren't you, Stan? Yes, Stan, I am. Everybody has desire. Everybody has ambition. Everybody has pride. Every one of us, that's the problem. And because of our ambition, our pride, and all the things we want, we miss the meaning of our life. We miss what it is to live a life that is meaningful. To want nothing with all of your heart. Let me explain this. This is a teaching of the Buddha. Now, I am not the spokesman for Buddha. I am not a spokesman for Buddhism. And it would be very wrong of any of you to think that I am a Buddhist, because I am not. I love Buddha. I love his teachings, but I could never be a Buddhist. I love a Jesus, and I love his teachings, but I could never be a Christian. So you have to understand, I have trouble with the ists, okay? So I don't do the traditional form of it all. I've learned other ways to deal with it, other ways to understand it, other ways to allow it to maturate in me. So let me explain. You ask me, is it possible to want nothing with all of your heart, really? It depends on what heart, Stan. If I'm in my human heart, no, it wouldn't work at all. How could that be? My human heart is composed of wanting many, many things. It wants happiness. It wants people to be happy. It wants me to be happy. It thinks that it knows what would make all that happen. It thinks it knows everything. So, yes, I understand. My human heart wants you to be healthy and happy, to be prosperous. It wants you to have all the things that you think are important to you, blah, blah, blah. It wants me to have all the things that Gregory would like to have and make it easy where he didn't have to blood and gut it out for a shoot or raising money for our programs. Yeah, that would be lovely, but that isn't going to happen. You see, to waste my time trying to fulfill what Gregory wants is a true waste of time and effort. Truly a waste of time and effort. What is wanting nothing with all of your heart? It is to realize, stand the futility of desire and pride and wanting and getting. That's what it is. And that's what the Buddha meant. Now, when my authentic heart can come forward, when I can authentically live in that heart of hearts that is beyond the hardness of heart of Gregory, beyond the rationale of his anger and his fear, his hatefulness, when he can get beyond all of that, when I am no longer influenced by any of that, that is when something magnificent starts to occur. To want nothing with all of my heart is to, as Jesus said, hunger and thirst for righteousness. In other words, to move forward, wanting love, wanting to know the meaning and the significance of a human being's life. Really wanting to know it. Not going through the motions of living my life mentally and emotionally, where all I live for is what I want. No, it goes beyond all of that. It is to want nothing. In other words, to realize this is all futile. And to think it isn't, and to think that it's all about getting, desiring, wanting, having, is foolish of me, deeply foolish. And this is what most of us do. We think that life and love and all of this stuff is about getting what we want. Getting what I want is the worst thing that can happen to me, because then I think getting what I want is what my life is all about. To want no thing, to allow everything to come into my life and leave my life in acceptance, whether it comes or whether it goes, is the essence of wanting nothing with all of my heart. We don't trust life. I have heard many a God-fearing person tell me that they loved God, but when it came down to the bottom line, when it came down to the whole idea of living their life and giving up desire, ambition, and pride, accepting life as God would give it, quote unquote, they can't do it. Jesus said something many thousands of years ago that took me years and years and years to believe and trust and finally have some measure of faith in. He said, "Your Father knows of your needs even before you ask." I now know what that means. It took me many years, 40 years, to really get it, because I'm lame. But it is true. Faith is just trust. It is the conduit of emotion, using emotion correctly to reach the other shore and to allow it to be like a pipeline that comes into this world. Yes, great beauty lives within us. We've seen it in the life of the Buddha. We've seen it in the life of Jesus. We've seen it in the lives of people who have had those rare moments where they could trust in love beyond what they believed love really was. And as that started to happen, as that started to mature and maturate in their life, great beauty started to arise. You say, really? That doesn't mean that in the background, my ego isn't going to want superficialities of life, possessions and people and objects. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's going to be back there. But that doesn't mean I have to follow it. It doesn't mean I have to dedicate my life to it. It simply means that's where it is. It's in the background. Greg is wanting, desiring, wanting, desiring. But with all of my heart, I want nothing. I don't mean the thing that is in the world. I mean, I don't want that thing. And what is that thing? Anything I believe will make me happy. Anything I believe will change the course of my life and give me more pride or comfort or security or whatever it is I think I'm seeking. Buddha was just trying to point us in the right direction. He wasn't saying you won't have desires and ambitions and prides within you. He's just saying don't make them first. Don't make them essential. Don't make them the modality of your life. Oh, how often we have all done this. Greg, too. And then when you catch yourself doing it, all you have to do is drop it and place your attention in your heart and ask from your heart, help me. To understand all of this, Stan, you have to want it with all of your heart, your soul, your strength. If you don't really want it with everything you have, with all of your might, you don't have the horsepower to make things happen in your life. You'll never have that horsepower to finish a spiritual practice, to initiate it, and to make love possible. You won't have it. To have it is very, very important. So, Stan, yes, really, it is. And while I sit here wanting nothing with all of my heart as I talk to you, Greg in the background is doing what Greg always does. Oh, I want this for you. I want that. I want this for me. I want a peaceful world, blah, 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 blah. I just don't give him time. I just don't give him airtime with me. And the less airtime he gets, the more I realize, yes, the Father knows of our needs, even before we ask. There is a great deal of beauty in our life. You have to go against the grain of your DNA. Please forgive me. Namaste. It is true. It took me years to truly understand that. And I've been put in some pretty precarious positions in my life. Really precarious. And still, I'm taken care of. It's not a moral issue. It's not an issue of, are you a good person and good people get good things? That's not true at all. That's really not true. It's a matter of sincerity. Where do you point yourself? If the direction is seeking comfort and security at all costs to your life, you'll find there's a price to pay for that. The next question comes from Reed in Los Angeles. In your show, Passing Through the Fires, you put everything in the fire, including yourself. What does this mean? I really like the programs, but I don't understand them at all. Reed. Reed, those programs were made to show the public that it isn't a matter of knowledge of a spiritual practice that makes for a spiritual practice. You can read all sorts of books from Deep Pockets Chopra to Tolle, all these people. There's Wayne Dyer. All of them are just trying to make money. It's just all about the moolah. And they'll say anything. Americans love to hear what they love to hear. They want to believe that everything is perfect and right and good and you can have whatever you want and the world is nothing but a possibility and all the possibilities are possible. That's not true. Depending upon my karma, I can only have the things that fulfill my karma. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He wanted to slip the noose. He said, if this cup cannot pass, lest I drink it, thy will be done. But he didn't want to drink it. I wouldn't. No one would. It was a frightening and terrible thing. Everything has to pass through the fires. And there are certain things in your life and mine that must happen. There are certain things that have to happen in order for me to awaken within me. Now, if I allow myself to awaken through everything that I am doing within myself, then I make love possible. It isn't about the possibilities of worldly goods. We're not here to ask God for stuff to happen. There is a fire within you. Do you know what that fire is, Reed? It is called love. And it lives very sweetly and very divinely inside you. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to think about it. You don't need to even understand it intellectually. You just need to trust it. Inner work, real inner work, not the stuff that the pedestrian mentality can hear and listen to. Real inner work is about passing through fires, the fire of love. It is the alchemy of love, the fires. It means that everything that is phony, that is not true, that is superficial to my practice, must be burned away, must be released. So in the series, I take the basic concepts of what people have accepted and what they believe in, and I've put them in the fire. Religion, philosophy, desire, ambition, pride, vanity, all of that. All of the things that constitute living for what we want. And then, even at the end, I have to jump in. Because Greg is full of ravenous desire, ambition, and pride. He wants certain things for everyone. And he wants certain things for himself, I'm sure. But to really get involved in that is foolish. And to feel bad about it is even more foolish. So the object of the game is not to get involved in it, not to allow it to circumvent your life and your teachings and your work. Everything has to pass through the fires of love. Not my will, thy will be done. It is the will of love, not the will of some crazy God that we have created in our mind that is in the image and the likeness of our vengefulness and our pride. No, it's about love and letting go of anything and everything that keeps us from the experience that is love. So when I talk about passing through the fires, I'm talking about the necessity of someone who is authentically involved in something that is real, really wants this thing, really wants it, wants to move into it, wants to love, wants to transform. When you've had enough of everything that you are and you can't go another inch being the person you are, that's when you will begin to see the fires in your heart, and you will pass through them. It is so beautiful. It is so magnificent. It looks like everything is lost, but really, everything is found. Everything is gained. Everything that is meaningful is there for you, and nothing is lost. It's all about love, and love is the only true power there is on this planet. When we pass through the fires, it means that I am saying no more. I am no more going to fight against life. I'm going to move into it. I'm no longer going to hate as a way of remedying hate. I am going to live in loving forgiveness, constantly forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. It means that I am no longer at the beck and call of my emotions, and I am not allowing them to make decisions for me. Now, when I can do these things, which all of us can do, a great awakening begins to happen. Also, there is a great challenge. We see it in the life of the Buddha. He was challenged under the Bodhi tree and went through the fires there. And Jesus, when he went into the wilderness, was tempted three times. Those are the fires. And yes, they are necessary for all of us. It is very important that we pass through them. So, yes, Reed, this is the meaning. This is what must happen, and that's why I made the series. You might want to get the CDs that accompany it, because there's so much in them to help you. How to do all of this is very, very important. I hope that helps you, Reed. Please forgive me. Namaste. It is interesting. I have watched and listened to spiritual masters when I was in India, and I hope you're enjoying the series, The Call to India. Every one of them went through the fires, every single one. And they all had their own way of going through it. It was very beautiful, very, very, very brave. Last question comes from Amy. Are you saying that 1,000 years of religion is wrong? You seem to be anti-religious. Why do you say these things? Amy, come on. I don't know how old you are, but if you haven't noticed, religion is the pawn of politics. We use religion, philosophy, to be the moral fiber for politicians so they can get into office and have all sorts of wars and rumors of wars and start all sorts of ugliness for moral reasons. Religion is very important to people because it's the only thing that keeps them from doing everything that is heinous. And lots of people really are into this. So what can I say? You really don't know. You really don't understand why the world is the way it is. A lot of it has to do with religion. Religion is a facade. It is simply convenient for people. You go to church, you dump your sins on the old priest, and then you leave and do it again. And then you go in and you dump your sins on the old priest and you do it again. If he hasn't got his hand in some kid's pants, it just goes on and on and on. Don't you see how foolish this all is? How there has been no real earthly transformation, even on a global sense. There's been no transformation. How many people do I know? They think of their religion as a commodity on the shelf. And they go and they pull it down when they need it and put it away when they don't need it. It is really ugly, and it supports the lifestyle of fear and hate anyway. You really don't get all that? Probably most people don't, just because religion has been along in this world a long, long time. It doesn't make it right. A lot of things have sustained themselves and perpetuated themselves in the world that were not healthy. War, poverty, crime, lying, cheating. All sorts of things. Alcohol has been around for thousands of years. Look at the damage it's done. I don't know what's worse anymore. Alcohol abuse or video games. I don't know which one. Video games promote hate inside people. That's the real religion. And religion is about a certain form of hate. It's how to sustain hate for the right things. And the wrong things, such as me or anyone else trying to teach you the way, now that's what the hate should be focused in. Yes, thousands of years of stupidity. Yes, thousands of years of stupidity, of selfishness. And for the most part, people are just not very bright. They just fall for it. Anything that intimidates them the most is what they'll do. Their least is their best. So if there is fear involved, you certainly have their attention, and most notably, you have their loyalty, because it's all about emotionality. And that's what our emotions are about, intimidation and fear. Religion matches that. It mirrors it. And that's why everyone likes it so much. It's the evil within me that makes religion so wonderful for people. Take a look at it, darling. Don't just pawn this off as philosophy. Take a look at it. You'll see it in your life, I promise you. Thank you for the question, and please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, please come to this website at aspire.org. Go to the top of the page there, and you will see contact. Just let me know. Contact me. If you don't want me to use your name or where you live, that's fine. I'm more interested in helping you through your question. And if you're not a sponsor of Aspire and you don't listen to these radio programs on my website, I will send you an MP3 so you can listen to it. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you for listening. And please forgive me. Namaste.